Welcome, everyone. This is Kevin of the Fandom Podcast Network. Welcome to part two of Couch Potato Theater presents Megaforce, a movie commentary. My name is Kevin. I'm not doing this alone. I've got good friends, good fellow Megaforce buddies that would jump out of a plane, on a motorcycle, in a dune buggy, to help fight tyranny against Guerrera. Kyle, how are you?
I am doing good, as long as I can jump out of the plane and have a parachute, because I don't want to be like that one guy.
Nice current pop culture reference, by the way. The other guy you hear laughing with us, Davis, welcome back to this part two Megaforce Couch Potato Theater. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and I'm excited to be here, and I'm ready to talk about a little Megaforce.
All right. Well, for the listeners out there, we're going to do a little reminder here. This is part two. The first part, we did a retrospective. We looked back on it. We gave a little synopsis of the movie, gave a little background. We talked about the actors, the director. We also gave personal history of when we first saw it. We talked about merchandising, the music, how it stands up now. If we were to, we talked about, you know, would we like to see a sequel, a remake? People who we'd like to, you know, be in it now. Kyle, was it you say you'd like to see Justin Lin direct a remake of this, or
absolutely the man behind the Fast and the Furious? That's, I mean, do you get any better than a perfect fit for that?
Yeah, and the new Star Trek. I mean, killed it there, didn't he?
Yeah
totally. Oh.
Absolutely.
Well, we want to mention to the fans here that even if you don't own Megaforce and you're listening to this right now, we're going to be very colorful with our commentary. We're going to relive a lot of great memories. And this movie's got, you know, it's campy. Let's just go out and say this. But it's a PG, fun family movie. It's PG because, you know, there's not a lot of hard violence in this. You don't see anyone physically get killed. And there's funny jokes that are dated, of course. Some great one-liners as well. Great, great vehicles, funny costumes. Now, as a reminder, Couch Potato Theater is about revisiting our cult classic favorites and a lot of good memories. Sitting back with a bucket of popcorn with your friends. And, you know, if you have not seen this movie before, please pick it up. Check it out. You'll enjoy this commentary with or without the movie. We do recommend getting the movie. And before we go on with the commentary, Kyle, just let the listeners know where you stand on this film right now, and you know, what would you like to say about the film?
Well, yeah, as I've said in the first episode, this is a film of my childhood. I mean, this movie brought me joy many a Saturday afternoon, especially in the wintertime in Alaska. It's 60 below outside. What else are you going to do? You're going to pop in a movie. And this was one that was in the rotation for a very long time. Coming back, being older, revisiting it, you have a totally different appreciation for it than when you had the kid. But that's the great thing about this movie, too, because it brings you right back to when you were a kid watching it on the television.
Now, you mentioned to me in the first part, the retrospective, that you had this on a VHS tape with Beastmaster, right?
That is
Megaforce
correct.
Was Megaforce first, then Beastmaster?
Megaforce was first, then Beastmaster.
Okay, that tape, did you watch them both equally, or which one did you watch the most?
I definitely watched Megaforce more than I watched Beastmaster, because especially until I got a little bit older, because I was probably about 8 at the time I had that tape, there were still some things in Beastmaster that kind of freaked me out a little bit at that age. You know, when you had the things in Beastmaster that wrapped the guy up and left a puddle of goo left, that was a little freaky when you were 8 years old.
I'm just trying to imagine you as a kid, 8 year old, being in Alaska, and you're watching Megaforce, which is filmed mostly entirely in Nevada in the desert. It had to be a little escape from reality for you.
Yeah. Now I've got to tell this story real quick, because we're talking about the days about the time we came out, VCRs were first coming out, and I'm not sure, you guys will probably remember, we're all about the same age. We might not have known the prices at the time of VCRs, but VCRs ran about $1,000
Oh, they weren't cheap, man.
No, they were not.
And
yeah,
the VCR debacle at my house almost cost me having a father and sister, because my mother was going to kill them both, because they went out they went out to a local JCPenney's, and when they came home, my mom and I could hear them wearing, "Who's going to tell her? I'm not going to tell her. You tell her. Who's going to tell her?" And they had spent $1,000 on a VCR, and it was one of those old top-load VCRs where the remote control was attached by about a 50-foot-long cable.
Wow.
Now, what year was this thing bought?
This was bought 82, early 83.
Wow, that was before we owned one. That was prime time there, man.
So needless to say, any kind of even remotely movie that was even remotely liked, it was recorded, because if we're going to pay the money for that much money for that thing, we were buying VHS tapes and loading them up.
Kyle was moving it.
Davis,
on
what about you, man?
Oh, let's see. I remember when watching it, what I would tell everybody in the whole movie and everything is, enjoy it as an 80s movie. I mean, if you love the A-Team, if you loved anything dealing with the 80s, this is the movie that you will love and enjoy.
Yeah, yeah. To me, it came out, as you mentioned in the last episode, that it came out the same year G.I. Joe came out with the comics.
Actually, and, the same month.
Yeah, it was the same month. Okay, that's right. Okay. Because I mentioned I was going through my old G.I. Joe comics, and I was seeing ads for Megaforce in there, for the Megaforce fan kit or whatever it was. And it was a good time to be a kid growing up in the 80s. Just some great programming was coming out. A lot of fun stuff to do. Arcades were big. I got a confession to say that at this time, my parents were still rocking the black and white TV. We did not have any VHS or Betamax player. We were kind of last on the block to get a VHS player. I was having to go over to other kids. But when we did, that's when VHS tapes were probably running about, you know, $50 to $100. Remember that? When you go to the rent a tape, and then if you lost it, you had to pay a bunch of money for it because they weren't cheap. And it wasn't until like 1986 or 87 when like Top Gun was released, you finally got them for like $20 or $25 a pop. And they realized they could make a lot more money if they lowered the price on VHS tapes. Do you guys remember that?
I remember a little bit when Blockbuster Video first opened, and
yeah,
where you had to, and if you didn't get the right tape, I never forget, there was some movie my parents had rented, and as soon as we got it home, the movie was not good, and it was just all snow. And it ruined the entire night because we had to take it all back and try to get another one and everything. I mean, it was some crazy times for sure.
I was the master of if a VHS tape broke, whether it was mine or, you know, it got, because everyone's gone through that where you rent the tape or a tape that you like, and the tape gets snagged inside the VCR. And I was the master at, though, of cutting the tape and then opening up the VHS with, you know, using a little small Phillips head wrench, and then splicing it together and then refeeding the tape around, because I had a lot of practice with audio cassette tapes. So I got pretty good. I remember, I think it was, I think it was Pet Sematary on VHS. It broke inside my VHS player I rented, and I was like, oh man. And I cut it, did a clean cut of it, and I taped it and fixed the tape and put it and sent it back to the video place, and never heard anything about it. So I guess survived.
The one I want to know about is, how many of you had a rental that got stuck inside the VCR?
Yeah.
I have one.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that's what happened with the Pet Sematary one. It got stuck, and I had to pull it out, and then it broke, and so I had to fix that. So, yeah. Well, here we are. We're at the time of actually doing the audio commentary. What we decided to do, because some of you may actually still have the VHS. Maybe you have the DVD player that is available now, with the no-frills DVD player, as we call it, because it has no special features on it. Go ahead and pop it in there. We're going to start the actual commentary. Pause it on the screen where the movie actually starts, where you have the red letters and the narrator is about to describe what is Megaforce. So go ahead and pause it there. I did want to mention that there is a Blu-ray copy, an import Blu-ray copy that is region one that you could buy. But it is, I think it's a Chinese or Japanese version. I do recommend, if you want to listen to our commentary, turn off the volume and put on the subtitles. Kyle, however, you are going to be playing the volume at a low level, so we can kind of hear it a little bit in the background, and you know, the listeners can follow along as well. Before we start, guys, you got any starting thoughts, Kyle?
Just that I'm ready to do a little pop a few wheelies, blow up a few Nerf balloons, and fly behind some green screen.
Davis, I just want to say, if I let you ever borrow a lighter, I want you to give it back to me.
And always remember, Kevin, the good guys always win, even in the 80s.
Yes! But by the way, we're about to start this. That reference is a famous quote you guys will see in the film. And what's great about it is that I didn't really realize it until now that there's reference in the movie in the 70s. And I never got that until I was rewatching this movie again, is that that's why he says the 80s. So listen for that later on. We'll get to it. Everybody ready?
Let's do it.
Okay, countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and start. All right, so here we are starting. We got this cool voice over here telling us about this secret force called Megaforce. And no one is saying, you know, it exists, but it catches you right here going, oh my gosh, Megaforce, this is what it's about.
Megaforce.
Yeah, thank you.
Just had to take you back there, Kevin.
thank you. Reference to episode one, the first episode of Couch Potato Theater that we did. Now, as we start here, we get the opening credits. But as I mentioned earlier, what's great about this is that you're actually watching scenes from the film you're about to watch, but it's done in this black and white version, and this kind of negative film thing. And it's actually a pretty effective opening. You know, Davis, what do you think about this opening?
Oh, I loved it. It was kind of like a... reminds me of some of the 80s James Bond movies, you know, when they had like this, the silhouette.
Yes.
How some of them start off. And you don't know it's actual scenes from the movie. So at the same time, you're just going, what is this? And it is, looks like a Phantom Force. So
it does. Yeah.
And you got to love the synthesizer. Now,
I love this soundtrack.
Well, one of the things that they showed, and especially in this black and white version, was one of the Megaforce members riding his motorcycle. And I'm telling you, if he's riding with both wheels on the ground, he's wiping out because he's turning that thing left and right so
fast. there's a few scenes in here that are intentional wipeouts and close wipeouts, and we'll definitely cover that. That there's one right there.
That's Ace.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Ace's stunt double. So yeah, this film came out in 1982. It came out a week before Tron did. And I think that the low box office that this movie did have was probably, you could probably blame Tron, because I think Tron got a lot of attention before it was released. And of course, when it came out, because when you're watching the trailers for Tron, we were all blown away by that.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Tron was like, everybody was talking about Tron at that point.
Yeah.
And you know what's really funny about this is Hal Needham, who was the director, he actually directed one of my favorite movies, was Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh yeah.
Of course. Yes. Yes. Classic. Now here we're getting a little introduction to the bad guy here. There, Henry Silva plays Guerrera. It's kind of funny. He's just kind of sitting there waiting for his speech. This guy telling these poor people about, you know, how's it going to be. So we get a little introduction to the bad guy here. Kyle, what's your impression of Mr. Silva here?
Here's the thing. And I found the opening of this movie as a kid to be like, what? Because you have this guy giving this boring speech. But I love his facial expressions during this whole thing. It's like, will you just get this over it with? And he finally comes down and says, enough is enough.
Now, I love this thing because you can tell it's obviously a model set that's being blown up.
I'm wondering, was this left over from Toho and a whole Toho Godzilla film?
but it's effective though,
oh,
and
yeah.
You know, then you get the bad guys to, you know, and the poor townspeople here, you get their reactions, so you know, and you tie it together.
They're in the middle of the desert, but there's palm trees.
Now, think where they are in the desert right now. I'm kind of getting a feeling that they had all these tanks for this movie, but they didn't really move them around too much.
Well, now, if I remember correctly, this was filmed in the Nevada desert.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yep.
Now I have to admit, even to this day, this part right here just has never quite made sense to me. Because you can't necessarily tell, okay, who are the good guys, who are the bad guys here? Which side is which?
Yeah.
Because you got this great overhead shot, and then all of a sudden they're moving in, and I'm like, wait a minute, who's attacking who, and what? You're just kind of like thrown right into the middle of it. I mean, this footage right here, especially the overhead footage, looks like it's something like they took right out of a newsreel or something.
Yeah, well, I did want to mention here that with the interview with Barry Bostwick, that he claimed that the Pentagon tried to stop the movie by withholding 40 army tanks that were needed for the bigger battle sequences. Because get this, the movie's strike force was very close to covert CIA strike forces still in existence.
You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. And then he goes on to say, what's good about this film is that he later reflected saying that it's plausible. We need an international force like this to keep peace. So it's interesting that this was reflecting reality and the CIA was nervous.
And there's Miss Kambada.
Yes, yes, yes. Persis Kambada. How beautiful is she? My gosh.
I keep waiting for him to call in Michael Knight.
Yes. That's Edward Muellhair as General Edward Byrne White. Everyone, of course, knows him from Knight Rider. Yeah.
Now, I love the classic 80s like patriotic music here.
Of course. Sets the tone.
Oh, and the tweed jacket he's wearing is just reminiscent
screams
of the
80s.
Now, wasn't it funny to y'all? I don't know if y'all remember the names of the countries, but it's the Peaceful Republic of Sardin and their aggressive neighbor of Gambia. You know, just for once, I would love to see a map of all the fictitious countries that every single movie, TV show has ever put together. Just want to see where they all fit together.
Oh yeah, a Middle Earth slash kind of, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, one thing I do want to bring up about this film too, we talked in the first episode about the actors in it. There are a lot of secondary 80s actors who were like in everything in this film.
Yeah.
That were members of Megaforce. I mean, because you saw them in multiple things.
Yeah, there were, I know that they got Barry because they, I think the producers saw him in a play and they wanted him to keep the beard to have him kind of stand out in this. And we'll see him shortly. But let's talk about Persis here. She was in Star Trek The Motion Picture. And that's probably where most people know her from, not Megaforce, but from Star Trek Motion Picture. But yeah, I love the fact she's got her hair this time. And looks like we got a little slithering snake here.
Yeah, danger, danger, danger! Get the teleporter ready.
Wasn't it in the interview with Barry Bostwick? He said that he kept the beard on just in case if the movie flopped, he could still have a career by shaving the beard.
I believe he did say something about that.
Which it works. Hey, you know,
oh, his beard totally works.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, is it just me, or do you just want to slap the general here because he's just annoying?
Oh yeah, yeah, he's a complainer. I'm sorry, but all I'm looking at is Persis right now.
And we're about to meet our favorite secondhand or XO of Megaforce here.
Yes.
Xanadu.
I mean, who can
Mr.
go...
Mr. Michael Beck, everyone.
Who can go wrong wearing a Skull t-shirt?
Warriors! Warriors!
Come out to play!
So this is cool. You get to see this this Southern hit guy come out to introduce to Megaforce. And this is Megaforce's first impression to this kind of... you know, stuffy military guy here.
And a major.
I love it.
And they're like, well, what's your rank? Well, we have no ranks. And then he's hitting them with all this. There's no difference. There's a big difference between rank and authority.
And Michael Beck is from Memphis, Tennessee. So I'm wondering if that accent is actually truly his.
Probably pretty cool.
Oh, I'm sure he went full country. Full back.
He just talked about bibblewhacking in the woods. I'm afraid to even ask.
I'm sure he wouldn't mind doing it with the major there, Major Zara.
Oh, he has bullet holes.
Oh, and this is the infamous APC for Megaforce.
Yes, it's its own character, I guess you could say.
Now they have all this high tech thing, but they come out and pick him up in a Ford Bronco.
Yeah.
Ah, the lovely Carrie.
Oh boy, does Dallas love Carrie? I love that kind of like pseudo laser gun thing that's just kind of propped on the top.
Well, that's a holograph projector.
is it? It's not. I always thought it was maybe a weapon too, though.
I think it was strictly the holograph projector.
Okay.
All right. And here we're introduced to Zachary Taylor, one of our secondary Megaforce members.
He's got. He's got Star Lord headphones on there.
Well, I thought it was really funny. He says, are you listening to Gladys Knight and the Pips? He goes, no, Vivaldi, winner.
Yeah.
Later on, he's quoting Macbeth.
Yes. I love that. Is it more patriotic music?
Patriotic music, yep. All right, here we get a shot of the Megaforce Super Control Center here.
And the classic, pretty much any 80s movie computer screenshot there.
Yeah, that could have been taken out of several Roger Moore 007 movies there.
I mean, I did get a feel of the Pit from G.I. Joe when watching this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah, man.
No. What I love here is the alarm's going off because of an armadillo.
Yeah. That's Professor Eggstrom there.
The egg.
The egg for short.
Good Lord. How many times did they have to do that take because they were busting out laughing during it?
I like how they had to stop like a long ways away before they even approach like the main base here.
Yeah, I was about to ask, how far away were they dropped off?
I know.
Oh, wait, here we go, guys. Can you hear it?
Here is the introduction of what we've been waiting for. The real stars of Megaforce, the vehicles.
Oh, that color scheme. It just takes me back.
Oh, that music.
That is a very cool color pattern.
Oh, those tight outfits.
Now, what I want to know is what exactly is the chess piece for?
You know, it's funny. I think it's connected to... I think they probably ripped off Star Wars X-Wing pilots because there's a little hose that goes to the helmet. I think it go. It's like a little... It's like what the X-Wing pilots use. That's what I think it is.
Like an oxygen.
Or extra Nerf balls.
Yes! Look at that! Rockets going up.
Now, here's the thing. You see them firing the rockets and then they have them again. I'm like, they reload on the fly quite well.
Now, if you look at the guy on the right for a second, watch this guy. The guy on the right. Oh, I'm gonna wipe out. Oh no! Saved.
And in the meantime, the guy in the middle has just got the most massive wheelie ever going.
Yes.
Now, if you look, you can actually see his face. There's no beard on this on the guy riding the motorcycle in the middle, who's supposed to be Hunter.
I got to mention something here in the trivia here. It says, producers approached military officials for cooperation in design of the vehicles. The officials refused. When the film was released, those same officials were so impressed with the vehicles, they asked the producers for the plans.
Dear Lord.
Can you imagine if they actually use the plans and there's like some Delta Force special forces that use these? And the guys
I love the wheelie sound effect there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and look how long he keeps it.
Yeah. And our hero.
He's like, get me off this thing.
The hair! Oh, my God, that hair!
How much moose do you think that required?
Oh, my gosh. That's some Aquanet action there, too, man. Little Xanadu headband there. But I love how you see the patches of what country they're from.
And
that's cool.
Except Dallas has the stars and bars on his.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Political Union correctness, Jack. Ladies and gentlemen, even in the 80s.
The Union Jack one.
So she's a little miffed here. You know, she's got a bigger picture plan. Got to deal with Guerrero.
I, you know, it's possible it didn't take him but 2 seconds to get the unzip down so we could start seeing the chest and the chest.
I love what's going on between Ace and Dallas.
Yeah.
This guy. That's an understatement there.
Yeah.
See, look at, well, the little look and a nod. He's like, yeah, Dallas, let's get this rolling. And look at that bike. Oh, I just love the design on that thing.
Here comes a great part. No children.
First time I've ever heard of a snake referred to as a no shoulder. I love the shot here.
Yeah. Now, I do wonder, do you think Barry Bostwick actually ever rode any of the motorcycles?
I was wondering that too.
You know, there was probably, I think so, but probably one of those rigs where you saw the chips guys always like right next to each other the whole time, but it was part of a towed rig, so they weren't really riding it, but they were safe on it. You know, that's probably maybe the only time you really see them ride it. we'll look out for that in the film. That's good. But this is where Dallas is talking about Eggstrom and that he is in charge of research and development of all of the best that science has to offer, as referred to, of the weapons and the technology. And this is where we get a little bit of that, what do you call it, the retro...
Introvision.
Introvision. Yeah, the introvision, where you see the characters in the cars ride in and out of, like, matte paintings and such. I love this little thing here between Dallas and Eggstrom. This is funny. Come on, that's still funny, man.
So do you think he's supposed to be the equivalent of Q?
Brilliantly played. I love the character.
Oh, yeah.
I love how he's kind of forgetful. Wait a minute.
Is that, and that, both, I love that both Hunter and Dallas are just like, yep, uh-huh.
But I love here you get a little taste of, like, the little project that he's working on for
Ace.
Here
we go, our first mention of 1 and 2.
That's a little foreshadowing right there.
Yes, yes. You see how excited Ace is? I'm gonna get a cool toy. Now look at this, man. What a great shot here.
This has got to be the pit. I mean, no way.
Oh yeah, this is just such a cool. I mean, even for its time, it's a really cool feature. I mean, you still see people walking around and talking and everything, but...
Wait, real quick, Dave. Sorry. He just said that the base can withstand a 25 megaton hit. Thanks for some gyro stabilizers.
Kind of reminds me of that little Yavin-based troop transport car there. But this also reminds me, I don't know why, I get a little throwback to that scene in Austin Powers where he's trying to turn one of these little cars around in that little tiny, like, hallway. And here we are. Get to see some high-tech flying machines here. A little outdated now, but back then.
Well, he just brought up saying the other gizmos and boats that we have at the other bases. I mean... That would have been cool to actually see as well.
Maybe we would have seen that in the sequel. But this is a great setup for how advanced the technology is. And that beauty shot of all the bikes.
Yep. Well, and they're talking about, we're cutting edge Russian technology. It was. That's still on the drum board. It is. But we've got it. I love this explanation of how they get their equipment, too.
And I love the qualifications for joining Megaforce.
Check out Ace's outfit here. You got the gloves kind of tucked into the belt.
The zipper's just getting lower.
Yeah, the zipper's getting lower. Watch him later on because he hangs his helmet off to the side on one side. Then there's this kind of little tiny gun thing that looks like a toy, and this little thing that comes down that has like three grenades holding on. It's pretty, it's simplistic, but it looks kind of cool. That'd be fun to kind of cosplay, but I'm too old to pull off that thing.
You know, but here's the thing. He's hanging his helmet, and if you go by some of the shots in the movie, the side he's hanging his helmet on is the side he also carries hand grenades on.
Yeah.
No, come on. What about the dress blues here?
Yes, yes. And he's tall. He's like 6'4", too.
Yeah. And you gotta love how it's just lounging in the door frame there.
That little flap over, though, kind of reminds me of the Luke Skywalker Jedi Knight outfit. Of course, this was close to around the same. This is before that, though, but that little flap
kind
over.
Kind of a little bit of a Star Trek Next Generation flap kind of thing, too.
Yeah.
I think you could actually pull off the cosplay for that.
I love this little kind of
the hair is perfect.
Oh god, look at that hair. I love how they're kind of talking about rank and looking at people's chests.
Have a good conduct medal.
I love, even on the dress blues, you still have the flags of each country everyone represents.
Yeah.
That little, what do you call that little thing he's got on his neck? What's that called?
An ascot?
Yes, yeah. The ascot. Rocking the ascot.
She reached for the door. How not letting him be gentlemanly.
We'll be back to Love Connection. 2 and 2.
Oh, here we go. It's a stealth nose.
You gotta admit, that is actually really cool how he does it.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. I just love how Egg is like, I'm not impressed. It's just
now, I still to this day, I'm always kind of curious how they pulled this little effect off.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me, remember the old horror movies when Lon Chaney would change into the Wolfman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what that reminds me of. It was just that slow progressive. I don't know if it was just like camera shot, they were just edited so well or anything, but
good old stock footage here, it looks like. But yeah, you know, all these little flashing lights in the back, and but it was so effective back in the day. It you know, being able to see all this high technology and being in there, he's basically impressing the girl with his man cave.
Oh, absolutely. And did you notice that this is actually the armored division of Megaforce? So wouldn't it have been cool to actually been able to see or hear like different adventures or missions going on saying this is the naval team or whatever?
Yeah. Yeah. The airborne or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
This sequel ideas are endless with this, man. How big are those computer memory banks, you think, back then? Now all that can be put on a SIM card. I love his delivery, Dallas.
Your dad is rich.
Mama's good looking. I like how there's a little foreshadowing on the helicopter here as well.
Shag carpet on a Chinook.
Hashtag shag carpet Chinook. Now, this is really cool because we're getting a little background on Guerrera and history. And the personal history that we will also go into with here at the dinner with Ace and Guerrera.
Now, is this dinner just because the general and the major are there? Or is this every night function, we're all in dress blues with an ascot after dinner?
I have to assume it's because of the guests, so everyone has to put on their dress blues, because I don't see them doing this every night. There's no other women in here.
No, there isn't.
Costa Brava. I want to go to Costa Brava. Is that next to Narnia?
I think it's about 50 miles due west of Londinium.
Yeah. Or and G.I. Joe Rio, was it Rio Lindu?
Yes.
That guy had some good hair too right there. Jeez.
I think everybody during this time had some good hair, either if it was a wig or if it was their true hair, but everyone was spot on with the hair.
And I got to say, Ace with the beard is awesome. Because the beard was kind of cool. You had Chuck Norris doing the beard, of course. So, yeah. That's what I want. I want a Megaforce cigarette lighter. Right there. What a collectible. That would be cool to get. What happened? He stole my lighter. I love how the general rolls his eyes there.
Now, I don't know if y'all ever seen this, but on iTunes, they actually have this where you can – oh, I thought on iTunes or Amazon, they actually have this for sale or you can for rent it. And it says view the trailer. This is the trailer right here, this scene.
Really?
Yeah, it's the wildest thing.
You mean talking about the plan that they're getting ready to execute?
Yeah, it's this whole scene right here. I'm going, this is actually, it's kind of cool. I mean, but it's just really interesting how that would be the trailer.
Well, back then, this was pretty cool technology.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's 3D mapping and how they're laying out every single thing. I said, that was just really cool.
Now, think about it. This is considered science fiction, but this is kind of set in reality. It's supposed to be, other than Tron that came out a week later, we didn't see this type of technology really that much, right?
No, not as far as I know. I mean, just having a computer, just the table itself was almost like a holo imager.
Yeah, yeah. Kyle, do you remember anything like this? It came out before, you know, around this time. You know, obviously before Tron, but was there any type of effects like this? I don't think there was. But I like how that they're totally going into the full plan here, and you see the map laid out, and Ace is just totally laid this out perfectly.
Oh, yeah. And what did he say? He said 5 minutes. And he's like, 5 minutes? Really? Isn't that overcompensating? He's like, nope, we got this. You know, I think the only other time we probably have seen something along those lines, like the computer imagery like that, was, I think, The Last Starfighter.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah. Still love these dress blues right here, I mean.
Oh, I know. Do you think that if we cosplayed that, people would get it?
You know what? I think they would, especially if we had flags from different countries. That would actually be really cool. I think everybody would be like, oh, Megaforce. We'd have to get some blonde wigs, though, you know, just to...
Yeah. And, of course, Dallas, to get a little peek into his sense of humor.
Now, you have to wonder, is he just trying... Were they trying to make him look like just a southern redneck, or was he just trying to be just an all-around fun guy?
Yeah, I think he's trying to lighten the mood, too, you know, but it probably came across more as the redneck type of thing back in that time. Of course, this is where things start getting, you know, she wants to join the mission here.
Oh, and you have to have a Dom Perignon for the end of the mission.
That's right. I think the only one that people that were talking about Dom Perignon at this time was Megaforce and rappers. So obviously he is not keen on the idea of having her join. So he's going to put her through a little rigmarole here of training. And we are introduced to this parachute jump here, which is kind of more like a beginning of a little love connection, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. And you know what? This was probably right now a very controversial time of her asking to be a part of it, because if I remember correctly, there was no women in active combat during
this
time.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, and Kyle mentioned earlier that we didn't really have any strong female roles that were, you know, doing the kind of kick butt thing, except for like maybe Princess Leia. Soon we'd see a lot more, of course. Chris, what I like about this scene here is that you get the kind of cheesy blue screen mixed with the real skydivers.
And I'm pretty, you know, sure that's not Barry Bostwick.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably two dudes there, too.
No, what I loved, guys, was just the fact that they did this, filmed this, and then green screened it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if anyone else noticed this, but there was a third uniform for Megaforce, which was the khakis that Dallas was wearing.
Oh, yeah.
here's what I'm talking about. You got the filming of this, and then here's Bostwick green screened over the filming.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Now, I want to bring up. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. See, looking back now, I love this. This just makes me smile.
Now you look at this, and it's like, you're waiting for the kiss, and she pulls this chute. Now, what I love is, here is this elite military force. Now, he's got a rainbow parachute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Top-notch, bad elite military force, but I got a rainbow parachute.
Oh, man. I wonder if that stunt guy there had to have a real beard or if it was glued on. Yeah, that's not his custom helicopter, is it?
No.
Yeah.
Now, okay. The guy who's starting off as a pilot here, he was in so many things in the 80s.
Yeah, he was.
Who is that?
Yeah. Is that Evan C. Kim?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to remember where I've seen him. Okay, so he's in... Oh, that's right. He was... I remember him now as Dirty Harry's partner in the Deadpool.
Now, I also want to seem to remember, wasn't he in V?
Yes, he was in V, yes, correct. He was in Caveman. Yeah, a lot of stuff. Alien Nation. Max Headroom. Now, I love this training scene here. It's kind of something you would see at an arcade, maybe.
And what I love is that This is like the ultimate final test for her.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, is she training in a bike or a buggy?
Buggy.
Buggy.
Now, I want to bring this up because this is actually, well, besides Barry Bostwick in the silver outfit. That yeah, I don't know how you cannot miss that, but he actually gives a very good, legitimate reason why she can't go on the mission.
Yes, yes.
And she is rocking the scarf, 80s scarf look. So
Oh, yeah. Now, pay attention to this romantic silhouette here. Very close. Pay attention to Barry Bostwick, Ace Hunter's right hand. The scene where he's explaining why she can't come along. Watch his right hand. Now, I gotta say a little trivia about this here. It says, in the romantic silhouette scene between Commander Hunter and Major Zara, actor Barry Bostwick deployed his right hand to briefly cast a shadow that resembled, well, his private parts. Asked at the time, he claimed it was accidental. However, when interviewed by Sight and Sound, the magazine of the British Film Institute in 2004, he admitted it had been done intentional slight towards director Hal Needham, with whom he was involved in an unprofitable Ponzi scheme. So he did it on purpose.
like,
you know, I never noticed that. You just said something.
You're welcome.
I will never see it the same way again.
Now look at, he's carrying, okay, he's carrying the helmet where his gun is. Yeah. His gun's underneath. So then he's got the grenades on the left side there. Okay.
Yep.
One and two. Now this scene that's coming up here, you see them walking towards the C-130s here. But this scene here is really cool.
Oh, for several reasons.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to bring up one point here in a second, though, about this scene. And see if you guys agree with me.
Okay. Looking for his girl.
Now, okay, I'm going to bring this up. She goes from Miss Military Bad Mama to, oh, kissy, bye-bye, wave.
even though I'm not going, I'm happy I came this far.
Like, she goes right from strong woman into this, oh, I'm the hero's girlfriend role, like that.
Because she loves him. See, look, even no tongue on that.
Yeah, but I love his reaction as he gets into the plane here. Cause,
oh yeah, I love his.
Watch this. This is great. Because I'm just cool. Bye, honey. See you.
The guys behind him must be like, you know, mouthing like puke noises, going, "Oh my god, oh my god." Now, see, that's what's cool about Megaforce is that they were all behind him, literally. you know, they're happy for him. He got a girlfriend.
Now, we are about to have the introduction of one of my all-time favorite characters in this film.
Uh-oh.
And that is the pilot.
Yes!
Robert Fuller.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is probably just a set somewhere when he's sitting behind, you know, the C-130, like, you know, little glass thing.
But he has the best one-liners in this entire film.
Now, I have to ask y'all, when they're getting ready to deploy, how many vehicles are on these C-130s?
Yeah, I know. They have three, and one of them is strictly carrying the portable base.
Right.
Well, are you sure about that? I thought there was more stuff. I guess we'll find out here, but I thought there was more.
No, there was only three.
Man, those are some big sunglasses, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. And this is the famous dry lake bed in Nevada, where a lot of, I guess, speed records have been done as well. Popular for using for all kinds of filming locations.
The Nevada Salt Flats?
Yeah.
Is that it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. See, yeah. There's only three.
Okay, there's only three. So one's got to have the motorcycles, right?
No, if you look, we'll address this later, but... If you look, motorcycles and dune buggies are coming out of the same one.
Okay, okay.
But one peels off because it's carrying the mobile base.
Okay. Okay, okay. Now, this is kind of cool because you get the red lighting, but you can tell all their outfits are black because they're made of that same material, I guess. you know? So if there was a stealth nose, then what's causing their suits to do this?
Special Mattel material.
Well, it's maybe, I don't know, maybe it's Ace's chest.
Could be.
Maybe it's just all the same technology. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. Wait, here we go.
This line.
Yeah. I love the facial expressions between the two of them, too.
Does that mean they both served in Vietnam, if they're talking about Da Nang? That's the impression
I get.
Yeah,
that's the impression I get.
Okay. I love this. You get a little insight to the other characters. Oh, Rubik's Cube. I could not do Rubik's Cube. Could you guys do Rubik's Cube?
No, not even close.
I had to take mine apart.
Now look how the one Doom Buggy is stored.
Okay, yeah. All right, it's hanging out there.
Now, are these C-130s, or are they supposed to be the C-5 Galaxies?
I think they're the 130s.
All American system.
Now, oh, I love this, the knife throw.
Yes, and you can tell it's like on a wire when it does.
And you got the sound effect.
Yes.
Now watch it. Was this throw particular? Watch this. Watch how the knife travels.
Yeah. It's effective. I had to take mine apart. I just like this, though, because you get a little character study building between the other characters.
Wasn't he Russian?
Yeah.
Wait, okay, so this guy's taken off because he's got the base, right? Is that what you're saying? This plane?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, you missed one of the great lines. He's like, can you call my girl and tell her I'm going to be a little late? I was going to call your girl anyway.
I like how Ace is getting sick. He's the hero.
What I love is that he puts 4 Alka-Seltzer in there, or sugar cubes, or something.
Now, okay, hold on. Does Dallas take his hat? He takes his hat with him?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he leaves it on the plane. Now, see, here's our... I love
our command center guys, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Lopez and Lancaster.
No, yeah. Lancaster was trying to figure out the crossword for which Indian. And then, of course, the Indian chief is Geronimo.
Yeah. Okay, right. Yes.
All right. So that's the refueling station that we'll see later on. Okay, the base. And that's supposed to just be the one, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the town that they're going to, I guess, the base they're going to try and destroy.
Exactly.
Get a little insight to Guerrero here. He doesn't like to lose. I love Henry Silva. I love the way he speaks in his cadence. Rocking the beard, too. Of course, he's got his signature cigar there. Cheating in chess.
You ever notice, like, the sets right there? If you remember watching the original Battlestar Galactica, that's what sets remind me of.
Oh, yeah, a little cheesy wall facades and stuff like that.
But you know what? It works.
Yeah,
it does.
Well,
yeah.
And this set in particular reminds me of the episode of Galactica where Starbuck crash lands on that planet, and it's the Western planet.
Yeah.
That's right. So, all of the bikes are in this one plane. Is that what?
No.
No?
Watch how they depart the plane.
Okay. I love these. Gotta do a black version of this thing, too.
and all the flip switches and the high-tech laser cannon.
Yes.
Right out of the Batmobile.
I love how the guys, yeah, there we go, the Gatling gun on the Doom Buggy. I like how the guys in the Doom Buggy have the red helmet and the silver outfits.
Nothing like quality camouflage for you.
And you get these beauty shots of these weapons.
And what was funny is Mattel, when they released them, they were actually in the tan and the black variant.
Yeah.
Really?
And a little bit of truth. Oh,
here we go. Okay, so we got two motorbikes. Motorbike. Oh, wait. Here comes.
I think it's a little trick photography here. It's like the same. It's like the same two or three bikes, and then one dune buggy.
All I know is that has to be the biggest plane ever.
Yeah.
That is not actually a C-130. It is the TARDIS.
Yes. You know, it's funny too because this is a set here, obviously, and they're probably, you know, it's filmed at night or on a closed set or somewhere, and I love how these guys are slowly landing. But it's effective, though. And they're all in black right now. It looks great.
And, you know, we never saw the six-wheel vehicle come down, did we?
No, we did not. We did not. So I'm guessing, how many dune buggies did they actually make, you think? Four? Six?
No.
Because you only see about four... No, wait, you see about maybe eight now. Okay, so here's the APC.
Yeah, which was a very cool vehicle.
And that is director Hal Needham.
Yeah. And I remember him from being in Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah. Okay, so here, look at the sets that they're blowing up here. Yeah. They're pretty cheap. But it's showcasing the...
Yeah, up the great green screen.
Yeah. But, and you're also, I love how you get the ticker on the side here of how much time they have to blow up as much as they can.
And
the tanks are having to turn around.
Yeah, this might be the most uncoordinated tank squadron ever.
Yeah.
Cobra could actually give them a run for their money.
Yeah. But I love the ticker down there in the corner, so you get an idea.
Now, there's a shot coming up here where with one of these tanks down in a trench, and I'll bring up the point. Right here, we see Ace and Dallas go down here to this tank, and they're going to fire their missiles at the tank. Do any of those missiles actually hit that tank?
No, they shoot off into the air.
And the tank's on fire.
Yep, and I love the laser effect.
Yeah. Oh, you see that little wheel on the inside that gives it that 360 turn? I love that.
Yeah, it drops down.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
That is so cool.
I'd never seen that before. The controls kind of remind me a little bit of the controls inside the DeLorean time machine.
Oh, wipe out.
Now, I love how Needham plays the guy that's kind of the eyes of the sky, and it kind of makes you wonder like what exactly they're blowing up, and it's like they're just blowing up a bunch of like empty buildings and stuff. But you know, it does showcase the vehicles here.
Yeah. Now, I love how the bike looks like it's fully operational, but they just abandoned
it. Yeah.
Now, here's a great scene.
Yeah. My dashboard looks like the red light district. I love this. Go ahead, step on out. I'll use it as a bomb.
Detonator. Now, I want to bring up a point here, and it's going to come up here shortly in the film, but do you think the Megaforce vehicles had any kind of self-destruct to prevent them from falling into enemy hands?
You would think so.
There's a reason why I say that, because a little later in the film, they are forced to leave all the vehicles behind.
Yeah, yeah, which is...
And I'm like, you're going to leave this high-tech weaponry just for here for anybody to come claim it, right? See, okay, again, here we have Bostwick, but it's on a green screen. Writing.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, it says here in Wikipedia that having to abandon their high-tech vehicles, which they program to self-destruct.
Okay.
But I like how, you know, they keep picking up their buddies that lost their vehicles here. Oh, man, that's just so cool. It looks like there's probably about 8 dune buggies there. I love this scene here.
Oh, this is
He's
great.
Got this old school bazooka from like 1942. Now, this is the most intense violence you're going to see in Megaforce right here.
Yeah. Now, it took me forever to realize that the George person he was talking to was probably the driver of the APC.
Yeah. I love this. Okay, watch out. This gets pretty bloody here, guys.
Yeah. The greatest sound effect ever.
Vaporizes it, man.
And he has absolutely no remorse. I just vaporized a human being. He's like,
let's roll.
Oh, I love that. So yeah, that's all. That's the violence you get right there. And you don't even, you just see them. They're just disappeared. Right? It makes you kind of wonder why they're not using that weapon the whole time.
Yeah.
And of course, another vehicle straight out of 1945 here.
Yeah, they got that off of a set of Hogan's Heroes.
You know, including that radio kit there. That's straight out of like Vietnam era as well, yeah. Even earlier than that.
And here we go.
The transformation.
Now. Hey, this is a neat camera trick, because there's no way they filmed this actually at sunrise to get this shot.
Yeah, you're right.
Because it's way too fast.
Yeah. Effective, though.
Yeah.
Now, I'm assuming, you know, Hal shot himself, like, on a stage somewhere.
Yeah.
Kind of put that up there, and they had to kind of shake the stage a little bit. Oh, he's so smart, he breaks his own glasses. Now, I love the helmets. They got the little arrow that kind of points down, you know, and then it continues with the design of the front of the motorcycle.
Yeah.
I got to say, they're pretty cool design, and I still think it holds up.
Hey, you have to wonder if that APC is flying like it really is, because, you know, like the Batmobile, you can only drive about 35 miles an hour, and that thing looks like it's doing 60.
It's got to. Well, like I said, you know, these are all made, and they were all working. You know? Okay, here's the reloading and refueling station. I like these guys. Look at all those rockets in the background. I just noticed that. See, now this rig here, it shows the actors, but they're being towed right now.
Yeah. Like I said,
that's probably
I don't think Barry Bostwick actually rode a motorcycle at all in the filming of this.
And that shot right there, I think that was an actual shot. That looked like about eight to ten dune buggies.
Yeah. So about $1 million, all of that was created and it was all working. I got to say, that's pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah. Now, is this the Republic of Sardon now?
I believe so.
This is where they get the bad news. Ah, there's the custom
Shaggin'
helicopter.
Wagon.
What'd you say?
The Shaggin' Wagon.
The Shaggin' Wagon. So I guess are those are probably Guerrera's tanks too, just maybe repainted or
Hey.
All right, here they are gassing up.
Hey, this is actually really cool.
Yeah,
it is. I love this. God, those vehicles still stand up.
You know,
especially this one.
Yeah.
Hey, a little bit of trivia on the Star Wars Hot Wheels that was released last year. There was a certain vehicle that was supposed to be Luke's vehicle, and it was a Megaforce Doom Buggy.
Really?
Yeah. When I saw it, I was like, I know this vehicle.
Now, I have to admit, this is a portable base. It's got quite the high-tech system in it.
Yes, it does.
And how much fuel is in that little tower?
Well, I'm looking at how many rockets they pulled out.
Yeah. Or where that was filmed, Hawaii. I just love how this guy's like totally being caught up by this holographic projection.
It's lonely in the desert.
I like how they show him putting on the rockets right here. Ah, yeah. Here. I love this scene here.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah. Comes in on a medical evac chopper. Yeah, it's just, I think the release time of this movie, they just didn't release it in the right time because Road Warrior had come out as well.
Now let me ask y'all this. Do you think this would have gone better if this would have been a comedy instead of a science fiction?
I don't know.
I think this is one of those problems with this film. It has comedy elements, but it's trying to take itself seriously too.
Yeah.
I think this is where Hal Needham kind of, like, as a director, maybe didn't quite hash out one direction or the other. He tried to do both, like he kind of did with Smokey and the Bandit, and it just didn't work out quite as well.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I'm wondering if I could get away with a Guerrera cosplay, if anyone would get that. Because you got to look at, he's pretty sharp, man. He's also rocking the ascot, you know, he's got the hat. And
I love how the entire Megaforce is just looking with this puzzled look on their face, like, what the hell is going on here?
If you think about it, this whole war started because of this darn lighter.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at the guys in the back if you get a chance. That little chest box, some of them were a little higher than the other.
There's some serious 80s facial hair going on in some of these.
Yes, there is.
And I look at some of these guys, and this is the elite force of highly trained warriors, and I'm looking at some of the soldiers. I'm looking at some of these guys going, really?
Now, look at do you think that he's wearing anything underneath that gold outfit.
No, but his
is he full on commando in that whole outfit?
No. Oh Lord, I hope not.
God, I hope not either. But come on, the chest hair alone acts as a bulletproof vest.
Now, Davis, you said in the last special, or in the first episode, I wish I would have gotten a little more background on Guerrera, because, you know, he kind of comes in and steals every scene that he's in, especially here.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, he just doesn't seem like the bad guy. He just seems like an antagonist, like a, what's the best way, like a core from the original Star Trek.
Look at this group of guys back behind them. Does that really look like the elite fighting force?
That blonde hair guy back there looks like he's one of the bullies from Karate Kid.
Well, I'm like, look at the guy with the handlebar. And look at the guy with the handlebar mustache. I'm like, really?
Well, you got to remember, all of them were dishonorably discharged.
Or dead, right?
Yeah.
Or dead.
I mean, I think Tannen's with that group or somebody.
All I know, it must not take much to pass a Megaforce physical. Now, this is what I was talking about earlier. There's not a bad guy here. They're just caught up in politics.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it does make an interesting plot for what's our, you know, plot thing here, and that's what's cool. It's one of the things I really like about this movie. It's not, you know, the fighting is not black and white, and you can kind of see Guerrero's point as well. Even, you know, obviously because he's supposed to be the bad guy, but he's not a bad guy. All on the wheel.
So was this general supposed to be a British general, or was he actually a part of the Republic of Sardonia or Sardonia?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if he was hired help or, you know, that's a good question. Because Edward Mulhare just plays that kind of general type character well. So I don't know. That's a good question. We probably could have gotten a background on this stuff if we had a sequel.
Because I'm guessing the Major is from the Republic of Sardia or Sardinia. Sardar, yeah.
I tried real hard.
I know, right now I'm just looking at that cool vehicle behind them. That's all I care about at the time when I first saw it. Get out of the way. I can't see that vehicle. It looks cool. I would love to see a full-size version of that APC. I wonder if it exists anywhere, if it's done.
I was always curious of how the pilot actually got into the car.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I think they actually show it that the windshield front opens.
Okay. Up, and there's a little I love you thumbs up.
Deeds, not words, gentlemen. Deeds, not words.
Ah, beauty shot right here.
Look at the hair. And look at it. The helicopter's going, but the hair stays perfect.
Oh, the hair is just, defying gravity. All right. Here's where we get down to the meat of the danger they're in.
Now, I have to give something credit to the makeup team or the outfitters or something, because you look at those suits.
You mean Mattel?
Mattel. I'm looking at these suits, and they're in the middle of the desert, and all I'm thinking is, oh my God, the sweat stains.
Yeah.
They all were wearing Under Armour.
We must protect this house.
Wasn't it with that line he said, our modern major general? Didn't Barry Bostwick actually apply? Was in, what's that movie? The Pirates of Penzance?
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was a little nod to that movie.
Love that. Ace, it's all over!
So, the question would be, is, as kids, how many of you guys pretended you either were riding a Megaforce motorcycle on your bike, or it was the Flash Gordon rocket sled?
Oh, it was the Megaforce bike. I had a BMX bike at the time, and I could do wheelies. I was Ace Hunter, man. Yeah.
Oh, I had a Huffy bike, and I was yes. I was always Megaforce.
Yeah, I remember getting a red line, a used red line frame. Yeah, my BMX days. I was all over being Megaforce.
Just think, if cosplay would have been big in the 80s, imagine how many Megaforce bicycles would have been out there.
See, I believe him when he says, I love you, but man, they just have different ideals.
Yep.
I want to get one of those Megaforce patches, though, man. I'm sure there's going to be one at Dragon Con, right?
I would think so.
Or there's a place down here, Intergalactic Trading Company.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They have a ton of patches.
You got to hook me up with a Megaforce. Dibs on the Megaforce patch. I love to put that like on a hat, though. Or like get a patch that says deeds, not words.
Oh, no. It needs to be on the next edition of the Poe Dameron jacket.
Otherwise known as the love jacket.
Ah, dot matrix paper.
Yes.
So what was this chest panel that everyone has?
Life support, maybe?
Monitoring? There's a little hose that connects to it, to their helmet. When you see them with the helmets on, like I said earlier, it's kind of like the X-Wing pilot thing. It controls, you know, they have them on when they're skydiving.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know why they're still having them on now while they're on bikes. Maybe it blows up stuff. Maybe it radios home. I don't know.
Air conditioning?
Yeah, there you go. Maybe there's some moose. You could, you know, press a button. Some moose comes out.
It is the 80s. They got to keep that hair going.
That's right. Dallas always had the toothpick. Oh, and here's some great technology right here.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, did they have this map already built before they left as a backup plan
yeah,
in case
exactly.
this work? Because they got the light up LED thing going on.
or was it like, you know, it's supposed to be how the map is supposed to look, so it just appears on the screen like that? I don't know.
The little tanks kind of look like remind me of something from Centipede. So they're going to come up behind Guerrera's forces here. Okay. Yeah, there's some good hair going on there.
The hairstylists were paid big money in the 80s.
Yes. I love this Guerrero music here too. Wow, wow, wow. I just thought it was kind of weird, though, that they kind of drop him off way over here. And he has to kind of walk over his tanks further than he really needed to. But you never see anyone raising a pistol shooting at anyone here.
Yeah, I know. It's...
so cool. I love this music.
Better question, instead of how many dune buggies were made, how many bikes were made?
Yeah. You thinking maybe about maybe 20 of them?
I'm counting here. I'm seeing at least 9 dune buggies.
9 dune buggies? And round up to 10 maybe, and then the APC here. That APC's moving. Look at that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's real stuff there.
So I'm wondering, they probably made maybe 3 APCs just in case if something went wrong.
Right.
So let me ask you this. Do you think Guerrero is a mercenary for hire and not actually with the Republic of Gambaria or Combaria?
I think you're right. There's some might be some truth to that because of his history with Ace and going through the same training and all that kind of stuff. Probably fell into that and then he kind of came into a power situation. But yeah, I think you're right. Maybe started off that way.
Wouldn't it have been cool if he was actually part of the original Megaforce team and then he broke off and started becoming a gun runner and this is what happened?
Dude, now you're making me really want to see it. Well done. Damn it. I hate you, but awesome. I love it. Oh, I love the sound of the silent running here. I love this.
Well,
I totally bought this, too.
And how cool is it you have silent running on all the vehicles that can happen that way? I mean,
yeah.
That was before its time right there.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Look at their blasters. They look like little toys.
they kind of remind me of a Han Solo pistol without the scope.
Yeah, yeah. The wheels without the spokes. That's a cool shot there. I like that.
Oh, there it goes. The APC comes up.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah, there it is.
Okay, it opens, but you never see the driver.
No.
Eagle flight. I don't know. This plan just doesn't seem sound. You know what I would have done is taken one of those planes and just like kamikaze right into the tanks. You know.
And what gets me, there's a whole company of tanks right here. 2 C-130s are flying directly toward them, and only one tank hits one of the planes.
It's the Stormtrooper Cobra effect.
I like to say you're dropping in the ammunition, you're flicking some switches, you're turning some guns.
You would think they would actually have this all done before they left base.
Yeah. There's that vaporizer gun. We should have just used that first, man. Maybe it only works on organic matter. I don't know.
I think that was actually a good statement, because if you think about it, the bazooka was there just fine.
That's true. Yeah.
And you got to remember, the movie didn't have a montage, so these are these little montages coming up right here.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so they got the little hoses on the side there to the helmets. Yeah, you'd think it would have been a little easier to hit these planes. And here they go.
They do ride kind of close together.
Would you say the real star of this movie is the vehicles?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I wonder how many actual tanks they used. Looks like they got at least around 10 to 15 for sure. See if we can try to get an idea of how many motorcycles they have here. About 13 to 15 in that shot. Maybe another, maybe 20 motorcycles, did you guys say?
Yeah, at least that many.
Yeah.
Now, are they just trying to shoot the airfield so they can't land, or?
I think they're just.
Are they just?
Maybe. Yeah, they're just coming up short, too, you know, because usually you'll fire one, and then usually you'll fire and you'll see, you know, the spotter will see where the cannon actually hits, and then they'll adjust it from there, raise it or lower it, depending. But, yeah.
Mind if I call you girl? Everyone else does.
That sealer is all equipment set for self-destruct. And the rockets go.
In every which way, but the aim, place they're aiming at.
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty much shooting all the rockets off now. They're not saving any.
Oh, come on. You always save a rocket for a rainy day.
But there's one rocket that went askew there, but it looks like it seems like they keep showing the same footage of rockets shooting, yeah. So it looks like they have a lot more than they actually do. Hey, there's a laser. All right. Now, if I remember, I think it's the Asian guy, because he's one of the Doom Buggy guys. He actually has, I believe, a single action revolver strapped to his side. Because remember, he gets out here coming up, and he kind of rides on one of the other Doom Buggies. Look for that. I think that's coming up. Okay, so I got a question here. On the costume side here, let's say the three of us did go to Dragon Con as Megaforce guys. Who's going to dress up as Ace in the gold? Who's going to do that?
You got to do that, Kevin.
That's all you.
Okay. Now, that means you guys are going to have to dress up as something here. Kyle, what are you going to do?
I'll be the egg.
Well, then.
That's a cop-out, bro. Come on.
I guess I got to be Dallas then.
Someone's got to wear the silver with the red helmet.
My goodness.
You can tell. They're running out of budget on the final battle. They were going to a lot of stock footage.
I like how that laser was used, though. Yeah, that's good.
And that plane has taken forever to land.
Yeah. All right, so they're breaking through, and the tanks are having to traverse around. It's got to be at least 20 bikes, would you say?
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive, man. I got to tell you.
Well, we'll have a real good shot of it here momentarily.
I guess they're not in range of the plane, right?
Right.
Okay. So they're chasing after them. Of course, they're... Well, actually, you see those explosions going off. So, yeah, maybe they are. They just keep missing. Ah, yes. Here we go. One of the coolest scenes.
And that's why they have the headpieces on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense now.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I want the blue smoke. No!
Wait a minute. I got pink smoke.
This is a great shot. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, it's got to be about 20 bikes.
20 bikes. Probably 10 dune buggies.
That's a great shot. Okay, there goes Ace. What a good smoke screen. I love this. That's pretty darn cool. Still no proof he's actually ridden a bike.
I gotta admit, this is a massive dry lake right here.
Oh, that's huge.
Because
like I said, it's been used a lot in a lot of movies. Man, I'd hate to abandon my bike, man. Like, no. Like, I like early on when the guy had to get rid of his dune buggy and it was used as a remote control. He kind of kisses it goodbye.
All these people are running for first dibs to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, now watch this. Watch. I think that's the Asian guy. Yeah, there it is. Look at his gun. He's got a little six shooter. Like, yep. I love that. And then I love how he gets on the hood here, or on the top. Like, yeah. Okay, that was the only gunfire other than the tank weapons. I love how they're hitting each other here because you can't see each other with all the smoke. Stop playing around. I love how he has a little antenna there on the side of the helmet. But look at that gun. It looks like a play gun. Most famous quote. So wait, did he take the cigar out of his hand and then put it in his mouth? Or did he have a cigar on hand? I don't know. I didn't catch that. Oh,
Is he just now noticing that there's no one else with it on his team around him?
Well, what I'm thinking is that, okay, so he crashes his bike. He wants to go say goodbye to Gura. He's like, okay, everyone's getting on board. Now I get to try out my cool new option. As a air quote option. That C-130 is kicking up enough dust, too, to camouflage its own self. See, there's no proof that he's riding that motorcycle right
now.
There's no proof that Ace Hunter is actually riding that motorcycle. Maybe we'll get some. We'll see. Okay, that is my first question to Barry Boswick the next time I meet him. And, wait, is that him? Is he riding it?
I think that was him.
Was that him?
You can't tell.
That he's not riding it there.
He's being towed there.
Yes. So was that him actually riding it, you think, in that one shot? One, two. Okay, that can't be him. That's got to be a stunt.
Yeah, that's
guy,
a
right?
stunt double right there.
So was the other guy a stunt guy?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, now I want you guys to pay attention to these guys here that are cheering them on.
Yeah.
They are selling this scene because they're not really looking at Ace Hunter flying here.
Yeah.
This is actually spot on acting here. Okay, he's being lifted up. Yeah, okay.
Oh, green screen.
Well, that's him on the bike right there.
I love his face right there.
What gets me is that I okay, so when he does the flip upside down.
Oh, come on. how amazing is this special effect right here?
I love this. This is so cool.
Right here. I mean,
I like it.
Look at the hair.
I like how, though, he's not wearing goggles, but he was.
He's defying physics right here.
You got to look at Barry, though. He is totally selling it here. Okay. I see you too. Yeah, there we go. And then look at this dismount.
Yeah, I know. He grabs the bar above.
I love that. Now, he did save a rocket, right?
He did.
Because he needs it for later. Unless I don't know if he reloads
no,
it.
No, I think
what.
He actually shot it reloaded.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I'm convinced Guerrero is just a hired gun runner.
I'd love to have seen a reunion between those guys. Okay, so he's reloading the rocket.
I love you, honey.
Request a flyby.
Negative, Ghost Rider, the pattern is full.
There goes a shag. The shaggin' wagon. Look at all the guys happy behind him.
Yeah. He just declared an act of war, but...
That's right! What a great way to end this movie, too. I love this. And stop. Remember when TV shows did that? They just did the stop, pause thing, and then the credits started rolling. And then you saw Naked Gun, and they kind of poked fun at that.
A-Team was always notorious about doing that.
So was Knight Rider.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so here we got the credits rolling. We got the Megaforce song, right? Yep. What an awesome song. And, of course, we're seeing stock footage of stuff we've just seen in the movie.
I'll turn it
over. Mega Force. All right, guys. Kyle, let's get some thoughts on you right now after watching this movie.
Again, it's just so much fun. It's pure fun. It's a fun little movie that you can just laugh at and enjoy yourself. And I can't see if you're our age, how you can't walk out of this movie without a smile on your face.
Yeah, good point. Davis, what about you, man? What are you feeling right now?
I agree. It was just a fun movie to watch and enjoy it and just see it for what it is. I mean, there's so much potential for this could be just an amazing movie if it was remade today.
Oh, I know. You know what? You wouldn't really have to change too much. You could still use fake countries if you wanted to. Okay, I got to ask you. If you had to pick your favorite scene in the movie, what would it be? David, start with you.
Oh, I would have to say probably the best scene is when you first are introduced to Dallas. Right there, into the snake scene and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Kyle, what about you?
It's a tie. It's neck and neck between the opening training scene and that scene where they're going through the salt flats and he turns on the smoke. And you just have that going because that's just such an amazing visual.
Yeah, no, I agree. I really like the nighttime shot, you know, where they have the countdown. That's one of my favorite scenes. I like that. And then I like it when, I don't know what it is, but I like the whole showing up for refueling scene. You know, there's just something kind of cool about that.
That was pretty cool. I mean, and you got to admit, the very last scene where Ace is flying in a motorcycle to the plane.
Yeah, okay. Now the question is which is the better screen shot? Because as we're watching the credits here, are we going with Ace on the motorcycle or the amazing parachuting?
Well, this one's kind of clever because you have to kind of intertwine, you know, the green screen with the real parachuters, and then you got the fake parachuter with the real parachuter in the back with the green screen. So it's, you know, when it comes to a technical thing, I guess you got to kind of go with the parachute love scene. I don't know, what do you call the scene?
I love this shot here where they're above desert, now they're above mountains.
Yeah, but you see, you got the fake parachuter with the green screen with the real parachute in the back. It's kind of clever when you think about it. Cheesy, but clever. God, I was going to say, when it comes to the vehicles, talked about that already, but yeah, I got to go with the motorcycle. I love the vehicle. It's just so iconic. Doom buggies for you guys, though, right?
Yeah. Now, here's my thing. I mean, if they did a remake, obviously you have to do the Doom buggies and motorcycles, but I think they've got to include a lot of other vehicles that time around too.
Yeah, definitely. I'd also choose a sidearm that looks not like a toy.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
Well, I mean, that TAC APC, that six wheeler, that was still a very cool vehicle as well.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that was a toy. There was even a little red thing on there. It was
exactly, yeah. I think the budget. I think the whole budget went into, you know, the vehicles, and then you know, maybe catering. I don't know. what a great way to end it, though. Just show that classic scene again. Well, guys, thank you so much for doing this. This has been a pet project of mine for quite a while, especially for you, Kyle, when we first talked about, you know, doing this, this type of program. And let's just go with some final thoughts here. Let me ask you this. Okay, let's say you had a chance to see this movie on the big screen again, kind of like those a lot of theaters are doing those retro things now, retro summer runs. Would you go see it on the big screen?
That's a tough one because I could be the only person in the theater. Now I have to admit, I mean, I love this movie. But if they did a Fathom event riff tracks on this, I'd have to go see it.
Yeah, definitely. As we were talking about on Culture Clash, maybe this is a perfect movie to do on Mystery Science Theater 3000. Have they already done it, actually? Do you know?
I know they've done some episodes because it's going to be a Netflix show and they're going to put it all out in one season.
No, I mean, has this movie actually been on the original Mystery Science
Theater? No, too new for the original Mystery Science Theater.
Okay. Yeah. Well, guys, just real quick, let's give a little wrap up of what's coming up. On we got Couch Potato Theater obviously going on right now. We mentioned in episode one that we got possible Last Starfighter coming up with that. We got the Fandom Flashback. Kyle, we've got another episode probably of Robotech coming out, and they're going to go into Babylon 5.
Yep, and then, we got Culture Clash bringing you all the latest news in pop culture, and, of course, Blood of Kings, which, you know, dives into anything and everything Highlander.
Yes, Norm and I rock that out every week, just like you and I rocking out the Culture Clash. Of course, we've got some movie specials. We did a Star Trek Beyond / Star Trek Discovery movie special. And also, we're also looking at doing a new movie special on something that's kind of controversial, but either you love it or you hate it. Maybe in between little Suicide Squad, possibly?
I think Suicide Squad's in line because I think that's going to be a most interesting conversation on that film.
Davis, have you seen it yet?
I have not. I am hoping to either possibly see it next weekend.
Okay. All right. So you are planning on seeing it then?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Great. Well, join us here on the Fandom Podcast Network. Please, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, and all those. Just search on all of our programming is on Fandom Podcast Network. Facebook, Fandom Podcast Network. Email, fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Twitter, @FanPodNetwork. Kyle, where can people find you on Twitter?
You can find me at AKyleW on the Twitter.
Davis, where can we find you on the Twitter?
You can find me at Davis Grayson.
Kevin, myself, @Spartan_Phoenix. Of course, Norman is on Twitter, @Starfighter1701. Guys, thank you again for doing this ride with me. And the best thing I like about this is when you guys were approached about doing this, you're jumping on it. You're like, yeah, got to do this. And so I'm happy that I got to share this with you guys because you guys had your own fondness for this and you know, your own history with this. And Kyle, trying to go back in time, seeing you up in Alaska, watching this movie. me lying to my parents about seeing Tron again.
By the way, Kevin, I just got a text from your mom. You're grounded.
You know, I think I may have confessed to my parents years later, you know, that I did not go see Tron. I did go back, and I think I saw Tron in the theater like three or four times anyway. But you know, there was other movies I snuck into, you know, that were maybe R-rated later on, but I wanted to see this film, and my parents weren't having it, and you know, because I don't think adults got this film at the time, guys.
I think adults looked at this film and went, why did I just spend my money on?
Except that one 70-year-old guy, he was in it, man. he was digging it. He was singing Megaforce. Well, thanks again, guys. We're going to go ahead and wrap this up here. I want to thank the listeners that tuned in here. And please stay tuned on the Fandom Podcast Network. Please join us. We've got some great programming going on. Kyle, thank you so much for joining me. Davis, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it, man.
It's a pleasure as always, and this is just a start for Couch Potato. We're going to have a ton of fun.
Indeed.
Oh, you're welcome, Davis. And you know what? This is just a great venue to get back to those old cult favorite films, you know, because it seems as we get older, we look back on these films going, you like that movie too? Yes, so do I. So this is a perfect way to do this.
Yeah. And awesome. Kevin, I want to give a reminder out to all the listeners too. Yeah, we might have a list of movies right now we want to get out, but as we go along, we want your suggestions. And again, if we take your suggestions, don't be surprised if you hear from us saying, okay, you've got to be on the show.
Now, one thing we did want to say was we won't be doing audio commentaries on all of these, because some of them, well, we don't want to sit through them because maybe they're, you know, for one reason or another, we don't want to watch the film, but we do want to talk about it. So that'll be a judgment call depending on the show. I don't know. Last Starfighter, that one definitely may call for audio commentary.
Well, I've got to say, from looking at our list of ones that we have lined up, there's not one of them that I wouldn't be willing to sit down and do a commentary on.
Oh, I know.
And we've had some great suggestions from the fans, too. I know one that's been in high circulation, too, has been Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay, one last thing before we go. Kyle, I want you to describe Megaforce in just a few words.
I don't use words. It's deeds, not words.
Davis, what about you?
International team determined to free... I just lost my train of thought right there. To stop a terrorist organization determined to rule the world. There you go.
I got three words. I'm going to leave everyone with Commando in Spandex.
Great. We just got an X rating thanks to you, Kevin.
Good night, folks.
I think that just about does it. Thank you, Davis. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, everyone. Until next time for Couch Potato Theater, I'm Kevin. Stay tuned. Thank you, and goodbye.